You better clutch your nuts, honey, because it's time for Squirrel Talk.
Okay, hello, 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 squirrels. We're back. I know, it's me and Selena back again.
Don't worry, I'm here, everybody. You can stop crying.
Oh my God, you are so loud. Actually, like,
oh no, did I yell? I should turn it down like a little bit.
A minute, just a bit. Like, no, it's popping off the frequencies.
I'm so sorry. Hi everyone. I'm here. Wait, can you not put that in? I don't want to hurt anybody.
Oh no, it's not going to hurt anybody. Is anyone hurt? Is anybody out there hurt by Selena's loudness?
You told me to talk close to the mic, and then I just started yelling. I shouldn't have yelled. I'm so sorry I yelled, everybody.
Oh my God. It's okay, Selena. So, yeah. See, we're trying to sound better for you. We're trying to make it sound good, and you know, because we're not like highly technical, but we know how we're supposed to talk close to the microphone so that you get real ASMR. You're really ASMR.
We're trying things.
Yeah, you want to hear like that.
No, I hate that. Don't ever do that.
You don't want that.
No. Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
They said a lot, and I think in the pornos and stuff, like, because they don't get that sound. So, like, there's this guy I saw in a documentary that, like, he'll just be, like, watching the thing happen. He'll just be sitting there just kind of, like, going.
What? Are you serious? Yeah. Like, like a Foley artist for porn.
A foreign Foley artist. Mm-hmm.
I want that job.
Why
I feel like that's the job.
Why haven't you gone after it?
I didn't know it was an option for me until right now.
It's totally
well, goodbye, option. Podcast. Hello,
well, goodbye.
Porn Foley.
Well, we know a couple people.
It's, I don't know if I necessarily like talking this closely to my microphone because I do go loud. And also, I don't know if anybody can notice I'm talking a little bit differently today than I normally do.
You're hardly talking. You think that you're talking so differently. See, Selena Vile got Invisalign and now she has the biggest lisp in the entire world.
I'm very aware of it because it's the way that I talk. And I've noticed that my tongue is not placed where it normally is placed anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, and I've been asking people, I'm like, can you tell, can you hear the difference in my voice? And they're all like, no, like not until you mention anything. So
what
now
do you mean,
this is
gay?
All
you're gonna... did you get gayer?
I finally got my gay lisp. I finally got it. I'm officially a gay person.
I can kind of it's very, very slight. I think you feel a lot more than it comes across. It's very, very slight. But I can hear. It's like a little, it's very charming. You know, like you were saying, it's kind of like that Latino lisp, you know.
The Spanish from Spain, yeah.
The Spanish lisp, because I guess it's like a Spanish thing that there's kind of a lisp to the accent, right?
Yeah, which I was told this wives tale and fully believed it, that the reason for that lisp is that the King Ferdinand had a lisp, and in order for him to like remain at his like stature, everybody else in the country started speaking with a lisp so that he didn't feel inferior.
Everybody else just had to be like, okay, how are you doing today?
Yeah, they all had to adopt his manner of speaking so that he would not feel yes, like he was less than anybody else.
It was the age of spitting all over. Wouldn't it have been good in
it
COVID?
It was. No. Oh, no, not at all. Unless you're wearing a mask, that's fine. I was watching a TikTok today of this OnlyFans guy who speaks with a lisp, and it was so hot on him. But I don't, and I was like, I want to talk like that guy, but I don't have the same kind.
Yeah, what do you feel is hotter? I mean, this is like getting really, we're problematic gays now, but like, what do you think is hotter? Like a guy who is like, really muscle bound, and then he opens his mouth and he's like, hi, how are you? Oh my goodness. Or like a guy who's hot and muscle bound, and he's like, so exactly, whatever, I'm gonna get some bananas at the store. Neither.
Sorry, what's the difference?
I guess one has a lisp.
Oh, I see. It's about the individual, it's not about the voice.
Selena Vile takes the high road.
Oh my God, guess what I just got? A text message from your drag daughter.
What the Why is she trying to get a hold of you now?
I don't know. I haven't talked to her in a while. Should I open it and read it on air?
Yeah, okay. Let's see what she's trying to get into here. She's always trying to get on Selena's good side. She's trying to offer her good things because
Margaret
does not have friends. She doesn't have friends. She doesn't have mentors. I'm the only good influence in her life. And
you are her mentor.
I know, and I'm horrible to her. She needs better people. So what'd she say? What'd she want?
It's not good. She said, hey, I'm thinking of leaving my drag mother and emancipating. Do you think you could talk to Hillary for me and and give her my list of grievances? So,
grievances. Okay, yeah. I would love to hear this list.
Okay, the list with a lisp. Okay, so a grievance number one.
Yeah, one. Yeah, I'm hearing. I assume it's about my bad gas manner.
No, rule number one, grievance number one is about your low booking ratio.
Oh, my low booking ratio, of course. The obvious choice. My booking ratio is too low. How droll.
Yeah, she's embarrassed about it. Grievance number two is your yellow eyebrows.
That's your grievance. Have you been influencing her?
And grievance number three is how you apply your makeup with no sponges.
I have sponges. I'm just like Derek Barry. Look, every time I do makeup, there's a sponge. There's a hem and a sponge.
Ay, Dios mío. No, she didn't say any of that stuff. She actually said something. It's about a gig.
I think she's trying to give you a gig, and I know about it. So I was
She said that you're unavailable.
Yeah, because I'm going to Puerto Vallarta. I'm going to Puerto Vallarta.
Oh, that's the weekend you're going?
Well, I'll be back for that Saturday, but I will have taken a full week off work, and I cannot take another day off at that moment. Right?
Actually, is that true?
Well, I can't. Like, I can't. Like, I have to get back to work at that point. So, yeah.
This is what happens when you go corporate, Hillary.
Well, this is what happens when you take a vacation. You get back, and then you have to go back to work because you've been off for, like, 10 days in a row, right?
I mean, you could always just quit and never go back to work.
It's not possible. Like, it's a good paycheck, honestly. Like, it keeps me going. Yeah, fair. Especially after the pandemic, girl, like, I feel lucky to have a job. At a place that I like. I mean, the second city, I work at the second city, the training center. I love, a comedy institution like that. That's so fun to work at and to help change and make it what I want. You know, I think it's a good thing.
Oh, are you making changes there?
Not at all. It's horrible. Oh. No, it's wonderful. It's a job I love.
And you get to work with Patricia Taborda, who I did House Co. with. I love her.
Oh, you were in House Co. with Patricia?
Yeah.
Oh, Patricia.
Oh, you call her Patricia. Patricia. You whitenize her. You call her Patricia. Yeah,
yeah. Well, I was. She doesn't correct me. You know, she's just over everything. She's Patricia. Can we talk about Patricia? Patricia's over everything. She wears Patricia. Black every day.
She does wear black every day. Patricia. I love her.
She's very... You know, of the two of us, we have kind of the same job, right? We kind of run the training center, and she's the more organized one, and I'm the more get things done one. So,
right, it's a good team. That's a great team.
We actually balance each other out pretty good.
Yeah, it's like when we produce a show together, we're both unorganized and get nothing done. No, we have different strengths. We have different. No, we're both creative. We're both like. Mm-hmm. We both approach different tasks.
What would you say your strengths are in producing like a show?
My strengths are, I don't know about my strengths because I don't know if I have any in producing, but I'll say what our roles are. I like to take on things like casting and getting in contact with the cast, taking care of the finances and the payment. And taking care of promotion.
Yeah, you like doing the promotion for sure.
Yeah, whereas you do the posters.
Yeah, I guess I kind of do more of the design work and
like, you create the reels,
creative elements, and things like that, scripting, that kind of thing.
And you come up with a lot of ideas for the shows too.
I'm definitely an idea person.
Yeah.
I definitely come up with a lot of the concepts for everything. Yeah, that's true of how I work at in Messy Productions too, with Messy and Me.
Right.
I'm like a graphic and idea person and strategizer, and Messy is the get shit done. Like, I would say one of my biggest weaknesses as a producer, it always has been, is that I'm not, I don't know. I don't have like that drive to get out there and promote things very well. Like, it's really hard for me to like push myself to do it. It feels de-energizing. Right.
It sucks. It sucks. It's great to put yourself in a position where the show just sells itself.
Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah.
But when does that happen? I mean,
well,
like,
I'll tell you one thing I've noticed is that, like, I've started this series at the Smith House with the drag brunch and the bingo show.
Yeah.
And both those shows were crapshoots until I made one event and gave it multiple dates. And ever since then, it just lives on Eventbrite, and people actually just check Eventbrite for things to do.
Yeah.
And then the tickets sell themselves. It's really cool. It's
Eventbrite
a great,
is great,
great
very
tool.
Good. It's very good, especially once you start getting a following. I think it's really, really powerful that way.
Yeah.
I think like the little things are important too. Like, we have a website. I maintain a website for Messy Productions. It's very important. And also, I think building a community. And sometimes it takes a minute. Like with the Smith House show you're talking about, the first couple of shows you did, you were worried. And
honestly, with good reason too.
Yeah, but it honestly didn't take that many goes at it for a little bit of a following to start developing, which was really amazing to see.
And it's really nice that I'm now starting to see people coming back to my shows.
Yeah.
Like, I've always had a lot of people who are like, we love your work, but they come to one show and that's it. Whereas now I'm starting to see people who are like, we were at this show, so we decided to come to this show. And I'm like, oh, that's so nice. People are actually coming around.
Do you know what's kind of annoying about that in my brainosphere is that a lot of the times the shows that people like to come back to are like the bingos, the brunches,
right.
The ones that are fun like that.
Right.
The ones that they don't really come back to are like improv, sketch comedy.
I don't know if that's true, because the people like our audience on our Wednesday nights, those are people who come back.
That's fair.
We have had a lot of repeat customers. There's people who are just itching to come back to our Sex and the Golden Girls show. They're like waiting for it to come back.
Oh yeah. And the both of us, I think we both desperately want to like just kind of make it our main show.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, that's what the people want. It's what the people want. It is very hard.
It does take work, because we do have to source and create a script every time.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to transcribe a script. We have to pick the episode that's going to be doable in both worlds of the Golden Girls and Sex and the City.
Yeah. And then also costume 4 to 5 actors for both roles.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty tricky. It's a little bit trickier, more production than like the play that we just wrote just now, where we just kind of take a bunch of junk and throw it on stage. Last time we did the play we just wrote just now, when we just had the big piles of stuff on the stage and didn't have it hanging on the hanger, I honestly thought, I know it was less impressive, but like it was actually a lot easier to work with.
Right. Because it was already a mess. It was.
I know.
If you stay messy, you don't got to get messy.
It's just like a learning process, all this stuff. And now, now we're doing our third venture together, which is the drag buffet, which is,
it's got
me worried, because I just hope people come to it. And
I think people will.
Drag excellence, comedy drag excellence, and a learning environment and a place for that to exist. We've both talked about so many times over and over the years, like there is no real place for it to exist in Toronto. There's more and more like work the mic, but you know, like we were talking last time, it's only the four of you. You don't let anyone in.
we do when one of us is sick.
Yes, yes, yes. Or, but Tom Hearn's great at it. Honestly, also lip sync is like that. Brings in a lot of queer improvisers and then drag queens in pairing with it.
Yeah,
Visa tries to put on stuff like that here and there. And then some other rumblings here and there, but like, there's not a lot of, you know, stage space for someone who wants to do comedy and drag.
Mm-hmm.
There just isn't, you know, like And it's so hard to go to a, like, it's really hard to do stand-up comedy, right? But, like, to do it in drag, it's like, the next level. It's so, so, so hard.
You know what? I went to, Ivory did a stand-up set at Comedy Records, yeah, at Comedy Bar.
And I know all about that. She was doing it to prepare for this thing.
Comedy Record.
Which is still...
I don't know if you're allowed to talk about that yet.
I don't know if we're allowed to talk about it at all. But it's still kind of in the works. But, like...
But so I went to go watch it. I went to go support her. And it was just like, it was a 10-minute set, maybe less. And I'm like, you really just got into drag to come do a quick stand-up set, which like, good, yeah. She killed. She did a great job. It was amazing. But it's like stand-up is such hard work without drag. And yeah, such little pay without drag. And then when you put drag into it, then it's like, oh God.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
The dollar signs next to my stand-up gigs are never as big as the dollar signs next to anything that is like a drag brunch or a drag this or that.
Right.
Or like a corporate booking at all. And it's so much more work in general. No, I'm hosting Gay AF, their show tomorrow night. Thank God. Thank goodness there's some.
I'm glad day.
Yeah, thank goodness there's some incredible queer producers out there who are my friends who let me do stuff. Because honestly, that's helped me grow as a comic. Like, if I didn't have that space and that stage to grow,
yeah,
like I don't think I would have at all. Like, it's so difficult.
Well, that's the thing is, like, you need the stage time in order to improve. Like, there's no, like, you have to put in your 10,000 hours, which, yeah, like, I'm not saying you need that. You've put in your hours. You've done it for.
No, but I think you're right. Like, you do have to keep putting in 10,000 hours. And also, when you're in a niche environment, you have to put in more a lot of the time.
Yeah. It's like those open stagers who are like, why am I not getting booked? And I'm like, oh, hon, it's because you just started. Like, who are you?
Yeah.
Build a character for yourself first.
You know, and you have to be realistic about what you want. You know, like. Oh, like in the stand-up world, like doing in Canada for some, you know, like we always do this like thing where like, it's like we only book people who have credits a lot of the time. And like, I've built up credits and I still don't get booked. Like, what's with that? It's because it's not about the credits. It's about, they just want to book their friends and they don't want what I do on their show. I think, I'm not sure. So it's just like, whatever. You know, some people tell me like, oh, be authentic. Drag isn't authentic. Or like, you know, you're hiding behind drag. And I'm like, what do you, no, like, I'm not.
Are you talking about Vicky right now?
No, there's a lot. There's been a lot, you know.
But that's crazy because you are authentic and you're like, you being a character performer is your authenticity. Like, that's who you are. What do they want you to go up there and like talk about like family trauma or something? Like, what do they want?
I don't even know, but you know, it's not easy. And I think, that's why I just am kind of like doing my own thing and figuring it out. But like, I keep thinking about like how, if it's this hard for me, like it's hard for a lot of people, you know, and there's a reason why.
Well, everybody's freaking out right now because Pride Toronto released their list of everyone who's performing officially for Toronto Pride. And a lot of those names are not local drag performers and people are not happy about it. I mean, it's not like official Pride shows. Like in like the drag ball every year has like 60 local performers at it. I think is like the typical number, but this year there's like the only ones who are performing at it who are local are the ones who are hosting it. Like Jada Hudson, Ivory Tower, Safonda. Everybody else is like a Drag Race girl.
Oh, wow. So they've really gone that way on it, have they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, there's probably such pressure from those production companies and managers these days, like to make it that way. You know, they're trying to leverage what they can. I mean, they don't even get anything out of doing Drag Race these days. Like,
yeah, I know, because it's so oversaturated.
They don't even
speaking
let a
of drag wait a minute
Kiki girl on they don't even let a Camp Wanakiki girl on what?
Our first Canadian Camp Wanakiki girl didn't they're like what is this YouTube show Drag Race, speaking of which, is that there's another franchise coming out.
Yeah. Yes. And we want to talk about it, don't we?
We do.
I know you didn't want to. You were a little bit like, why are we going to go back to talking about Drag Race? But I mean, when I saw the names on the list, I was like, oh, this season's worth talking about.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to do a full episode about reviewing each episode, but I'm happy to like give brief thoughts on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're going to keep on the same format. Like, we're going to meet every couple of weeks while the season plays, and we're going to just go over the episodes that have come out, but also like keep talking about whatever we want.
Yeah. Just straight, like, we don't have a plan. We're just going to show up and do what we want to do. Yeah. Whatever comes naturally.
Like, we were definitely creating topic podcasts, but I think also we got some feedback that people just enjoyed us talking. So we're like, okay, that's great. Oh, wow. A cool season of Drag Race. Ooh. This
a shiny new thing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. A shiny new thing.
I'm really behind on my Drag Race. Like, I haven't watched Philippines, Italy season 2, God. Spain season 3, Sweden, or Belgium. I haven't watched any of those.
I don't watch any international ones at all.
You never have?
Very few. I've been told that Drag Down Under season 2 is actually pretty good.
You would really enjoy it. But I thought you would love Drag Down Under because it's campy.
I just don't have enough space in my heart for Drag Race anymore.
Like, I hear you. I hear you.
I do like some of them. Like, I'm interested in Canada, and I'm interested in the States one, and that's about it. You know, Canada just because I know everybody, and then, you know, the States is because, you know, it's relevant as well. But
you should watch Down Under season 2. It's way better than season 1.
I have heard it's really good.
Yeah.
But all the other ones, like all of them, really will require like so much translation for me. And there's just so many. There's so many to get caught up on now.
There's too many.
It would be like watching all of the Real Housewives of New York and LA and all that stuff. I did that.
It took me two years.
Crazy.
I actually, a little crossover moment here. I was on another Sonar Network show called Vanderpump Robs. Mm. We last week recorded because I just started watching Vanderpump Rules.
Oh no.
and so Vanderpump Robs, that podcast had me on their show. I talked to Rob over there and it was fun. I didn't know that Sonar had a Vanderpump show. So listen, go to sonarnetwork.com. Is it org or .com? I'm going to find out right now.
.com, I think.
I'm looking it up. Oh my God. Why don't I know this? It's not dot, wait, is it the Sonar Network? It is. Sonar. We're terrible. It is .com. TheSonarNetwork.com. There are so many amazing shows that you can just like find a podcast on anything.
Oh, at the Sonar Network? Yeah.
Sonar.
The Bedpost.
I've been on the Bedpost. I love it. Have you been on the Bedpost yet?
No, she still hasn't invited me on.
Let's get you
she
on.
She said she was going to, and then she was like, okay, lots of people always gaslighting me, constantly gaslighting me.
Well, it happens.
Qualified queens, of course, those two, who will review Drag Race so that we don't have to.
Yes.
Ooh, Spencer wants to know, my friend Spencer Litzinger. She does a fun podcast.
Oh, I didn't know her podcast was on the Sonar Network. That's cute.
Yeah, she like learns about a new topic every week.
I like that.
Every time. And her partner teaches her about things. And then she learns, I guess, is the whole premise.
Cute.
Yeah, that's so silly. We're going to do All Stars. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited about this season. Like when I usually don't get excited about it, you know, when these lists of names pop out. I'm just kind of like, okay, who cares? That's going to be the winner. And I saw this list and it was just like name after name of people that I enjoy.
Yeah.
Camp and are underdog and are like not who you necessarily would expect to get on.
Yeah. So my understanding is that when they decided after all winners, they were like, what's next? And they decided to do an all early outs season. So half the cast is early outs. And then I think they couldn't get everybody they wanted, or they ran out of people to like actually do it. So then they went ahead and like, and changed up the format and just cast a bunch of others as well. But we have so many amazing early out people who left early, maybe got on the show too soon, didn't really know what they were getting into, and then got the boot a little too early. And then since then have had then like really grown as performers and really grown like looks wise, performance wise, their capabilities. Like James Mansfield has really, really had a fantastic career. She's in one of those RuPaul Christmas movies. She's a hair master. She's an amazing wig designer.
Yeah.
Gives great tutorials online. I'm so excited about James. I'm so excited about Mrs. Kasha Davis. She's the person I'm most excited about.
You're most excited about Kasha?
I loved her on season 7. And I really thought, I wish she had gone further on that season. And she doesn't get the respect she deserves because she's a fantastic queen.
Yeah, they always just kind of called her, brushed her aside and called her some sort of workhorse queen. And I remember there was that when they had to sing some sort of song. She kind of came at it with this like, everybody's going to Charleston down. Everyone kind of thought it was hilarious, but I was like, I mean, it kind of is amazing. Like it kind of tickled, like she knew who she was. Like,
yeah,
I think
she's like Paul Lynde on Broadway.
Exactly. But like, I think if she would have come in a later season than that one, like people would have understood it more, you know, the doors she's broken down.
Yeah. Cause she was on the fashion. She was on the like Instagram girl season.
A bit. Yeah. Season 7 is a pretty,
it was a weird one.
Impressive season though. Like there's a lot of, real famous drag queens that came out of that season, from Pearl to Trixie to Katya,
Violet, Kennedy, Davenport.
Jasmine Masters.
Uh-huh.
So many names that are just like enduring personalities, big personalities on a fashion season, which I think is so funny. I keep thinking about Trixie Mattel trying to do fashion back then. And it's just like, never been her strong suit. And at that point, she had no money and half of her clothing was clearly kimchi's.
Yeah. It's really amazing how she was able to like take that terrible stint on Drag Race and turn it into her empire.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so cool. And then Kasha, she like, I don't know. She just kind of got lost in the mix.
Yeah, she did. Also, she was like the older queen and too campy for that season. And then we have Darian Lake this season as well, coming up on All Stars 8.
Oh my God.
I'm very happy because she made it to top 4 on like one of the best seasons of Drag Race ever.
Yeah, she killed it.
I've been waiting for her to have her like comeback moment ever since. And I'm glad she has it now.
I mean, she took down Ben de la Creme.
Yeah, twice.
like that's Ben is known as pretty talented. So, I mean, the fact that Darian could take down someone like that, like that puts her in good competition, I would think. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Granted, Ben was not really known for her lip syncing.
Well, but in All Stars, whatever it was, 3, she actually became known for lip syncing. She had incredible comedic lip syncs.
Yeah.
You know, like all that Nicki Minaj stuff. And
true. That was really good.
Really good lip syncs.
Yeah.
This reminds me, just the other day, our friend, our dear friend, Sapphire Woods, formerly Sapphire to the Rain, decided to post on the Instagram, "Hey girls, if you can't dance, don't dance. There's other things to do in drag."
And did that offend you?
And no, and I have been trolling her about it because I'm like, wow, gatekeeper of dance. Who do you think you are? Michael Phelps, lord of dance?
Michael Phelps, the swimmer? The Olympic swimmer? Michael Phelps,
you know, the one that's the dancer.
I think you're talking about Michael Flattery. Flatley.
Yeah, Flatley.
Yeah,
sorry.
Michael Flatley.
Old reference. Anyway. I just think it's really funny. But I think it's really funny because I've been saying that kind of stuff for years. And, you know, I just think it's funny that she's saying it now. It's like, you don't have to dance if you don't want to. You can do other things. You can just lip sync.
Yeah.
Not everyone's a dancer. So don't try and be a dancer if you're not a dancer.
Right. It's so true. Like, people think that they have to get up there and do those stupid tricks that they don't know how to do properly or safely and don't have the flexibility to do and don't have the strength to do. And people are still going out there and doing it. And it's like, don't, like, just don't. Like, do what works for you, not what you think people want to see, because they don't want to see you doing it badly.
But you know what the problem is? I think the establishments in general, they do value that. They do value that. And they kind of want them to throw themselves on the floor, and for some reason they think it's good. I think I was talking to Safra about that. I was like, I blame the woo girls. It's the woo girls' fault. The girls that go woo, you know, when you do a trick, they're like woo. Those bartender managers, they just want to hear woo, woo.
Yeah,
woo.
Yeah.
There's this weird thing I've heard about, like, they don't like girls that quote unquote clear the room, you know.
Right.
But, like, why? It's a weird thing in Toronto. Like, they never give the audience a break either. So, like.
Yeah. Why? Well, here's a little bit of tea. I'm going to drop a little bit of tea because I don't work at Woody's, so I don't
you're
care.
You're spilling some Woody's tea.
I'm going to spill some Woody's tea.
This isn't necessarily just Woody's. This is just kind of like a standard. But anyways.
But would you like my tea? So they've been booking a few, like, open stagers as main acts. And so apparently the reason behind that is that bar sales are low. So they put those queens on to give the audience a break so they can walk away and go to the bar.
Oh, work. But why don't they just take a break? Why doesn't the queen on the mic just say, hey guys, we're just going to take a 10-minute break. We'll be back in 5.
Yeah.
What, like why does that not exist?
You talk to any queen or any performer from anywhere else in the world and they will tell you they take a break. Like, they do one or two numbers and that's it. You know what I mean?
Speaking of taking a break, it's the perfect segue to take a break.
Take a break.
All right, we're going to take a break. Bye, squirrels.
Goodbye now. Great.
And we're back.
Oh, wow. That was such a long break.
Such a long imaginary break.
I took a nap.
So long. I hope you enjoyed the ad, if there was an ad.
I'm sure there was.
I'm sure it was really good. Go buy it. Buy it, please.
I hope we make money off that ad. Offer code nuts.
The money that we get doing this podcast is insane.
Astronomical. I bought a horse.
I bought a horse. A horse is more expensive than a house these days.
It's true. It's true.
What's your name? Kasha Leslie. Davis? Oh, Vicky Lick.
Horsey Kasha Davis. Oh, my God.
Do you remember our House of Licks roast where we essentially, the one joke about Vicky Licks was just that she was a horse the whole time?
Yeah. I mean, she was. That was a really good roast. I had a lot of fun doing that.
It was so fun.
Remember when we had a family?
My favorite joke that you came up with was, gosh, I'm so excited to be part of the House of Licks, the house that just keeps holding me back.
Did I say that?
Yeah, and I was like, Selena, truer words have never been said. You are a star. But then you know what actually held you back? Your body.
Oh, my God. We're getting real here.
It wasn't us. It was your body on the lawn.
It was my body. Come on, diagnosis. Wait.
I miss having a family. That was nice.
Well, I'm still here.
Yeah.
Do you care?
Yeah. I think it's a really nice thing that we still talk.
Do you want to talk about All-Stars or do you not?
We should probably talk about All-Stars.
Do you want to talk about the looks, maybe? Not like one by one, but I want to know, like, what you thought of the promo.
Oh, like the promo looks? Like the people? How about let's just go by one by one and talk about the people and the promos.
Okay, I don't want to do that, but let's do it.
What about, so Alexis Michelle is on the season. And I think, are you excited for about Alexis Michelle? I don't want to say I'm excited. I'm not that excited.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm not that excited either about... I've never really cared for Alexis Michelle.
I don't know what it is. In theory, I really like Alexis Michelle. You know, like on paper. Like
yeah.
If I was going to choose my Dungeons & Dragons character and it was like Alexis Michelle, I'd be like, ooh, this person looks great. But like in play, like actuality, there's just something like bland or like annoying. I don't know how to say it.
Because she got such a villain edit on season 9. I'm interested to see what she's like now, like how she presents herself now on TV.
I just find her boring, honestly. I kind of find her boring.
Yeah.
She's
I know what you mean.
She's very professional.
Yeah.
She's so pretty. Do you think she's...
Yeah.
Do you think... Maybe she's too put together. For me, it's like, girl, you're too...
That's the thing. There's no looseness with her. It feels very... She feels very uptight.
Uh-huh.
Like, she takes herself too seriously.
Yeah. Way too seriously. You know? Is that what New York is like? No,
it's not. Not at all.
But she's, like, upper city New York. You know, like Manhattan, I feel. Like, or maybe but she's, that... like, Broadway or something. I don't know. Is there a difference?
Yeah. No.
I don't know. Because they talk about a difference between like Brooklyn and then Manhattan. But like, I think Bob was technically Manhattan somewhere as well.
No, so Bob is Manhattan. Yeah. So like there's, so the main hub in New York is Hell's Kitchen and Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
Like for drag. I mean, like it is, I mean, drag is everywhere in the city, but like, that's like where the main drag bars are. And that's where like Bob worked. That's where Miss Cracker,
mm-hmm.
Everybody who's been on the show. Yeah. And then unless you're a Brooklyn queen and then you worked at like Metropolitan or other places on in Brooklyn.
Well, I'll say her look is amazing. I mean, it's really pretty.
It's gorgeous. It's beautiful.
But you know, like it's just kind of like really expected. It's just kind of like, yep.
Yeah.
I see that. She's got a donut on her head. I wonder if that's a reference to Everything Everywhere All at Once.
It has to be. And look at those sausage fingers. Okay, moving on from Alexis Michelle.
Who's next? Like, Darian? Darian Lake?
Sure, let's go on to Darian.
Darian Lake. Oh, yes. Well, I mean,
she looks stunning. I think it's beautiful.
Skinny. She's skinny now, which is fun.
I wouldn't say she's skinny, but she's skinnier.
Well, like, skinny, she, you know, compared to where she was at. I mean,
yeah.
You know, she'd consider herself a skinny girl from before. She's no longer the shady elephant. She's more like the shady, I don't know, koala bear.
Okay, like we'll take koala bear.
I'm fat.
I think Darian Lake is drag excellence. And she has such a fun, bitchy personality.
She's really funny. Do you know what else I learned? Apparently, she's from like the New York upstate area. So like
Rochester. So her and Kasha Davis and Pandora, they're all Rochester girls. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know some people from like Albany, like Opal Essence and some people from there that I met through Opal. Anyway, but I heard Darian was talking about how... a lot of the girls were being funny and stuff, and she was kind of hanging around with the funny girls. But she said to, I think it was Mrs. Kasha Davis, when Kasha was starting out, she's like, look, it's okay to be funny, but you can also be pretty while you're doing it. And I think that's very Darian. It's like,
yes,
because she's pretty, but she doesn't take herself seriously, you know?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. I'm excited about her. Who's next on your list?
The next one here, Heidi in Closet.
Oh, Heidi, I'm so happy she's back.
This is quite the look.
It's her amazing. She looks beautiful.
It's like Indiana Jones or something.
Yeah, like Carmen Sandiego.
Carmen Sandiego beats Indiana Jones with that hat. Very cool. Yeah. It's weird. I don't understand peplums. I don't understand spiky peplums. Like, they just make no sense. I mean, it's geometric. It's fun. But
it looks like with the sleeves, like it looks at the shoulders, it looks.
Yeah.
It's got structure. I love the color. I love the material.
You know what else I love about this outfit is that this is an outfit you could wear without pads. It's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
Looking, but you don't need any pads.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. So it's wonderful to like. This is not walking in the workroom. This is her promo. She just wanted an easy day.
I mean, she looks fierce doing it.
Yeah.
Are you excited to see Heidi on TV again? I am.
Kind of. Like, I'm interested to see what she brings. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not sure if she ever really found herself. I'm kind of interested to know if she found herself.
I think she did. She has a very signature look now with her, the bangs, like the, what's that look? What's that called?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know what it's called. Yeah, gap tooth. Well, not the gap tooth look, but her bowl cut. She has a bowl cut wig that she wears a lot.
Okay.
Shaft and shuffle.
She is a personality.
She's a huge personality.
Yeah.
And I'm happy. I'm happy she's on again.
But Heidi, somebody who's also a personality and a little bit more fashion-y is Candy Muse.
Yes.
Who actually, I'm a little bit more excited to see Candy Muse than Heidi. And
are you?
Because Candy is just, she's not afraid to tell her opinions, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, she just kind of puts it out there. And she is very fashionable, I would say.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's funny.
I think Candy's a very cool drag queen. I think she's got a really interesting perspective. My only thing that I don't love about Candy is how she always becomes the center of attention. Like, it feels like the Candy Show all the time.
Yeah.
And she doesn't really let other people have their moment.
That's fair. Yeah. I like this look, though, with these silly little feathers all over a purple bodice and giant...
Oh, again, it's with the peplums. Gorgeous.
Again, with the weird bubblegum peplums.
True. But it's like heart-shaped. It's a thing. Yeah. Brooklyn wore a look like this. Like, it was like an homage to like the Canadian flag. Brooklyn wore an outfit that had that kind of heart shaped peplum hip.
Did she have leaves on it instead of feathers?
No, it was feathers.
Wow, Brooklyn, you said okay. Moving on. Okay, Kahana Montrese. Well, I was not expecting Kahana to ever come back, but she has been in Vegas, right?
Yeah, she joined the Vegas show, the Vegas Review.
Yeah, because she's like a split flip tricks kind of.
Yes, she is a performer. She's gorgeous.
She's really pretty.
So beautiful.
I was, you know, and I don't have a body like that. And I'm sure it's really hard to have a body like that. And that's all fun stuff like that. And be an amazing athlete. But like people were really focusing rather than like on the fact that she's an amazing athlete and trick person. They were focusing on like how much work she's had done. And she's had work done. But I thought it was a little demeaning to be like, wow, she's amazing. Look at her cheeks, though. Look at that thigh gap. Like, fuck off. Like,
the interesting thing, though, is like she didn't need any of the work. She was beautiful on season 11.
It is weird. It is a little bit much. I mean, but I guess that's Vegas culture. You just like decide.
It's drag culture. It's like even our local girls have all the like plumped fillers and all that stuff. I think it's too much. I think it's too much.
She seems like from the interview a lot more upbeat and maybe with it. So I'm looking forward to it. There's not much of a costume here. She's practically just naked, which is pretty impressive for drag. Like, I guess that's just your body. Like, does her body actually look like that? Holy crap.
I guess so.
Wow.
Maybe not naturally, but it looks like that.
Yeah, just full of motor oil. Mm-hmm. Lala Ree is back in the house.
Lala! So she's somebody who left too soon on her season.
I agree. But she left on an iconic... Well, did she leave on the paper bag moment? I can't remember. But like,
you know what? I don't think so. I think she won that lip sync.
Wonderful. I mean, it reminds me, you know, this season they've started giving out the Golden Boot Award. Like this season, Selena S. Titties won for her lamp post sign.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a level of being iconic when you have a look that is so bad it's good again. There really is. Like, that's an accomplishment. So bad.
Lala inspired Halloween costumes. Like, when people are when people are dressing like you, you are an icon. You have made it.
It turns it right back into fashion again. Because, like, it's wearable. It's very wearable.
Yeah, I'm excited to have her back on TV.
So what do you think? Lala is looking very put together. That said, I would say she kind of looks very, I don't know, like kind of blank slate. Like she just kind of looks like other people. I don't know.
I know. I've noticed that too. I'm like, wait a minute. You know what? I never really knew what her aesthetic was. And I still kind of don't know what her aesthetic is.
Yeah. I almost wish she would have come in the iconic look and been dressed up like a giant plastic bag or something. You know,
yeah,
like,
made a reference.
Leaned into it rather than just trying to dress like, I don't know, some sort of generic gown moment with very trendy hair.
Yeah.
But, you know, hopefully she's still got it.
I have a feeling she does.
Moving on, we've got, I'm very excited to see this person on the show. I watched this YouTube video of this guy. He was like, people, you know, they make those YouTube videos of like people who have retired from drag. People who have quit drag, and they have no idea what they're talking about most of the time. I mean, like, drag queens quit and rejoin drag constantly. Anyway, Monica Beverly Hills is on.
Yes.
And he thought that Monica had quit. And I was like, she's not quit. She's been performing ever since. It's just, you know, just low key about it.
Very low key.
I actually got to see Monica Beverly Hills a couple years ago when we went to Chicago for a bit. She was performing at Hamburger Mary's. She was just twirling for dollars. I handed her a dollar bill.
$1. You gave her one whole dollar for her entire performance.
I gave her one whole dollar.
How did she eat an burger? Which cost $44. How was she? How did you enjoy her performance? Was she killing
it? Beautiful, and she was doing the thing. And I mean, just a sweetheart. Yeah,
Monica Beverly did the thing.
I think I even gave her $2.
Ooh, you doubled it. You doubled your original offer. That's nice. I don't know what she's been up to personally. I have not been following her career. I hope she's doing great. I look forward.
She's just been doing the thing, like working at bars in Chicago.
Right. So she's in an interesting position because she was on the show before she came out. Which you could tell that she was holding something back, that she wasn't fully present. And so now that she is, like, I guess it's been at least 15 years now.
It's been a while. Yeah.
Yeah. No, wait, not 15 years. She was on what, season 5? Never mind. Then that's like maybe 10 years. She is now like, she's had a chance to live in her new trans body and is like now comfortable with who she is, hopefully. And I look forward to seeing what that means for her in drag and on the show.
Also, I just have to reference the fact that there's never been a drag queen named Hillary on Drag Race, but Monica Beverly Hills technically is the closest we've got so far. Because
we do call you Hills for short.
We do call Hills. So I realized, oh my God, we're twins. Monica and I are twins. Aww.
Yeah, I mean, Selena Estides was the first Selena to make it on the show, but she spells it differently.
Selena. She's a character. She's a character. But Monica, I love this look with the disco ball boobs. I think it's cute. I think it's trying to make a little statement about maybe who she wants to say she is. Like, she's a little camp, she's a little disco, and she's very, you know, pretty.
Great.
I like it. Ooh, another one coming back that I'm very excited for is Jessica Wilde.
Jessica Wilde. I knew you were going to go to Jessica. I am so pumped for Jessica Wilde. I love her. She's like the heart. She was the heart of season two.
Yeah, yeah. She was like, go back and watch season two. Jessica just steals half the season. She's so good.
Oh my God. Her chicken, her cluck cluck chicken.
She kind of got robbed. She's like one of the more original robbed queens.
I mean, she made it to like, she was like top five, I think.
I think so. But she's like one of the best queens that came out of Puerto Rico for the show, I would say, in general. You know, if you're going to stack them all up.
I mean, like Alexis Mateo and Yara Sofia are pretty legendary.
Oh, that's true. Yara, Alexis, and Jessica. But then there was a kind of, you know... I mean, I don't want to say Candy Ho and, you know, April Shower.
There was Lanisha Sparks. And
I'm not saying that they're bad, but they didn't have quite the same personality. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, no. Yeah.
Personalities. And I think the thing is, the both of us, we prefer personality over like everything else. So
true story.
I'm biased. I'm very biased.
How dare you?
But Jessica Wilde.
Ooh. I'm so excited that she's back. She's going to be very fun. She's another person that we haven't really heard much from unless you like follow her closely. I think she was back as a lip sync assassin a couple seasons ago.
Yeah, she came back as lip sync assassin. Oh my goodness, though. She essentially just dressed as RuPaul. I mean, she's essentially just Puerto Rican RuPaul. I love
this
it.
This is one thing I love about...
She's like, no,
she actually... She played
did RuPaul on Snatch
She did RuPaul
Game.
On Snatch Game, yeah. This is what I love about All Stars is when they bring back people that newer audiences don't know yet. Like having Candy is fine, having Jimbo back is fine, Heidi is fine. But then like we get people like Monica Beverly Hills and Jessica Wilde who have not had a chance to come back in a long time.
Darian Lake.
Yeah.
Kahana Montrese. Kahana is really out of left field, in my opinion, in a lot of ways. Speaking of, Jimbo is back. And Jimbo, I have to say, first Canadian to get onto this All-Stars.
This is very interesting. She must have the O-1. She must have the O-1 visa. Her look is one of the best things I've ever seen.
It's amazing.
I want, like, she looks like those rich, you know, those in like movies where like the really, really rich woman goes to her like vanity and her giant bathroom with her giant vanity mirror. And then she grabs one of those puffs and powders her face. She looks like one of those giant puffs. Those like fluffy puffs.
She looks like the puff. It's amazing. This outfit is something, I mean, it's rightfully right in front in the promo. This look is wild. And I don't think you can move in it. Like, it's so big. It's such a she's a parade float. Like, it's nuts.
Oh my God. That I'm obsessed with it. I'm obsessed.
It's so pretty. And also, you know what I really like Jimbo wearing this for? It's because Jimbo is kind of known when she came into the Drag Race franchise as being kind of busted.
Yeah.
And now she's just like, she was already on a show. And she reinvented herself there. And now she was just like, okay, now I have to reinvent myself yet again. And she did. This is really cool.
I love it. They cast her after her being on UK versus the world and getting.
So what do you think?
Oh my God.
Of Jimbo? What do you think of Jimbo? Do you like Jimbo?
I love Jimbo. She's one of the most naturally funny. She's one of the most naturally funny people. Yeah. Like on All Stars or on UK versus the world, where she was talking to the tiny couch. She's like, what do you think, tiny couch? She's like, you're no help at all. She's so good.
She's a weirdo. I wish so weird. I wish she cared about us. But I feel like she's like Priyanka. Like now that they're out of Canada, they don't care. They're
Jimbo would have to know who we are to talk to us, though.
She knows who we are.
Oh, no, she doesn't.
I hate the world. I'm just gonna keep complaining about it. I love you, Jimbo.
She never watched Camp Wanakiki season two or four.
Nobody watched my season.
I did.
Mrs. Kasha Davis. We were talking about her, but like, I mean, I'm very excited to see Mrs. Kasha Davis back. She looks gorgeous. She looks like Mrs. Kasha Davis leveled up. Bigger hair, bigger dress, you know, just bigger everything.
Yeah.
You know, just like fully embracing what she intended to do. Even
she gave a really great interview. She gave a really great interview recently on the news about Drag Queen Storytime. I don't remember what she said, but I remember it being great. Yeah.
She does Drag Queen Storytime. She has like a kind of TV show that she's working on for kids.
Good.
That she's pitching. I don't know if it's going anywhere, but like, yeah, she's very into that.
Oh, yeah. What she said was, she's like, yes, we do have an agenda with Drag Queen Storytime. And that agenda is to spread a message of love and acceptance and tolerance and like acknowledging that everybody is different and that is okay. And she's like, what the fuck is wrong with that? Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. And grooming. Specifically,
I mean, combing your hair.
Like combing the hair.
Yeah.
That's what I say. It's like, yeah, we groom children. We comb their hair.
Yeah.
They're disgusting.
I hand in a Q-tip and I say, go clean your ears.
Exactly. It's like, clean your ears, like dirty, dirty child.
Put some deodorant on, you little monster.
Nasha Lopez is back again. Oh,
sure.
Yeah. So Nasha hosts the Roscoe viewing party, which is very famous. So she talks a lot of shit. So apparently she was very surprised to get the call because she was like, you know, she's kind of like,
that is surprising.
You.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's kind of like, me, where you say, oh, they'll never call me for Drag Race. I talk too much shit about Drag Race. And then they're like, hey, Nasha, we want you.
I mean, for the record, Drag Race has never called me, but.
Yeah, seriously.
Nasha is one of those people that I don't care about.
You don't care about Nasha at all?
I think she's lacking in personality. I don't think she has star quality. I don't know.
I mean, I think she just has to kind of find her personality. You know, like I think I'm only saying this especially because the one and only Sasha Colby just won Drag Race. And her and Nasha Lopez are both continental winners.
Yeah.
And actually go way back. All of these continental, I went down a rabbit hole. All these continental girls do.
Mm-hmm.
And Sasha and Nasha both started doing continental pageants around the same time.
Okay.
And then, I don't know, they have this schmaltzy story they tell that it's like they wanted to crown when one they were going to like compete with each other and like crown the other one. So,
and that did happen. Sasha crowned Nasha.
That did happen. So essentially,
and then Nasha crowned Brooklyn.
I know. When Sasha won, Nasha was like, okay, now I have to win next year. And she made it happen. Like, my God, that's wild. Who did she sleep with to make that happen? I don't understand. But like,
could be anybody.
But I do think Nasha's pretty fierce. Like, she's drag continental royalty.
Uh-huh.
You know? But you hate it. You hate it. You're not seeing it.
I just don't see it. I just don't. I'm sorry. She looks nice.
Okay. Well, we have one last queen. Can you guess who it is?
It's my favorite. She has a puppet sometimes.
Uh-huh. The puppet. Yeah. Ornisha. And it's James Mansfield.
Oh my God, I love her so much. She makes me cry. She's so good.
I remember when James Mansfield was first on Drag Race and she got, you know, kicked off. And I was like, I guess that's too bad. Because I kind of compared myself a little bit to them because I kind of am James-ish.
You're very James,
In that camp vein and a little bit airheaded. And I was like, ooh, that's very telling what would happen to me if I got on Drag Race.
I think she got a really bad rap when she was on the show. Like, they did not get her. I feel like I got her. I was like, this person's amazing. And then I remember during the cheerleading competition where they...
What a stupid challenge, by the way.
Yeah, that was so fucking stupid.
That was nuts. People got... people got injured doing that. Like, no,
yeah,
shit. Like that crazy.
But then she did these two somersaults that I can't do.
Oh my
and
God.
Everyone was like, what the hell is she doing? And I'm like, she's tumbling. She's doing what most people can't do right now. And she's like, and she's going with it. Why are people having a problem with this? And then she was eliminated. And I was like, that's stupid. This is all stupid.
Well, it's just like she did two somersaults, which is like, you know, did the thing. Apparently doing a cartwheel or a handspring was the requirement. Like, where on the Drag Race sheet does it say must do handspring or cartwheel? Like, it's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
What a weird season.
It was a weird season.
Season 9 was kind of weird.
Season 9 was great. That was one of my favorite seasons ever. Season 6 and season 9.
Okay. It was okay. There's lots of good people in that one too. Like the
amazing
the
people.
Sasha, the Peppermint.
They have the most winners.
Wave. Really?
Yeah, they have all the top four now have crowns. Shea Coulee,
so
Trinity. Oh, I'm sorry. I lumped in. Sorry, now Peppermint doesn't have one. So the three of the top four have crowns.
Well, Peppermint is extremely successful. I mean, my God, her career was already huge and only got huger. James Mansfield, her dress with this giant thing in the back. I think it's really pretty. Did you see the Met Gala? Somebody essentially, I think it was not Doja Cat. It was Cardi B's dress was essentially the same thing.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Yeah. So everyone was just kind of like, oops.
Right.
Oops. They copied James Mansfield. Oops.
I did not see.
James, how do you think James is going to do? I think
she's going to do great. I think she's going to do amazing.
I think she's going to do really good. I'm really excited. I definitely think she's going to be a solid middle contender. Like, she's.
You think middle? I see her being top four. I could see her making another. Because she has the skills. She has a lot more skills than people give her credit for.
Yeah.
And she has she's honed her point of view. She has a very specific point of view with drag now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think she's got a lot more experience under her belt, and she's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it goes well. I mean, this is the thing. Like, I don't know who's gonna do well, honestly, in this group. This group is very confusing. There's no like
it is.
Oh, that person.
Because it's a lot of people we haven't seen in a long time, and it's a lot of people mm-hmm. who did not last on the show very long.
Who's gonna go home first?
First? Oh, yeah. God. I think Nyssha Lopez again.
You think Nyssha?
I do.
Yeah, I'm going to guess it's going to be... I honestly don't think Kahana's going to last.
I could actually see her being middle.
Yeah. Kahana or... honestly, Lala Ree. I'm not sure if Lala's gonna last. I don't know.
Hmm.
Do you think Jimbo's gonna win? Do you think Jimbo's top four?
I don't think Jimbo's gonna win because you're not gonna let a Canadian win. But I think Jimbo's gonna go far because Jimbo is there for a reason. Jimbo is there because Rue loved her,
right?
So there's no way she's gonna go home early.
Darian Lake. I would love to see Darian top.
She's done it before. She can do it again.
Yeah, who are your top four? My top four that I think that I would like to see is, you know, Darian, James Mansfield, Mrs. Kasha Davis, and Jessica Wilde, maybe?
Yeah, I think the four
I'd like to see.
I think the four I'm seeing are Jimbo, Heidi. No.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
Jimbo, Heidi, Darian, and Jessica Wilde.
Candy Muse out early.
Oh, Candy too. No. I see Candy.
That's the
Ooh,
thing.
It's
That's
hard.
I try and make a top four and then I'm like, wait, no, that person might get in there. Nope, that person might get in there. I mean, like a lot of these people have really kind of done.
Because remember they eliminate each other, right? So.
That's right. So the bitches are all going to go home first. So who's, I mean, Candy, she's out of there. Goodbye, Candy. Nyssha Lopez, also kind of a bitch. Goodbye, Nyssha.
Is she?
Yeah. Yes. Huge. She's a pageant girl.
True.
She's sweet on the outside and bitter in the middle. You know, that kind of feeling.
And bitter in the middle.
Anyway.
All right. Well, listen, let's never talk about Drag Race again. We'll never talk about it again.
We have to do it again next time.
This took way too much time. I hate it.
No, it didn't. We talked to each other most of the time.
It was half an hour of my life of talking about Drag Race. It was worth it.
We didn't do the whole thing. Honestly, I thought it was kind of just be like, oh, I like this, I like that. You know, I think in the next couple episodes, we're going to be doing a couple episodes at a time. I think we won't have to go over everything. We can just talk about what we liked and what we didn't like.
Let's just brief it.
Just like, ooh, I really love that thing James Mansfield wore on her head. Ooh, I really hate Sasha. Sasha. Alexis Michelle. Period. Done. And then, you know, we're done.
I hope they never listen to this podcast.
No one listens to the podcast. But you have to be outrageous. You have to be clickbait or no one will watch you at all.
Thank you to all of our listeners. We really do appreciate you supporting Squirrel Talk Podcast.
Hey, by the way, did you notice I got a haircut? Look at my haircut.
Nope. Hasn't your hair always been that length? I think it's always been that length.
Look at my haircut.
Wait, did you get a me haircut?
It's like a short on the sides haircut. Yeah, it's a bit of a you haircut.
You single white female. I'm going to start calling you Hedra.
Single white female. That's who I am. All right. Well, that was it. You don't want to talk to me anymore. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Let's move on and talk to each other in a couple weeks.
Okay. I'll see you on Wednesday for Drag Buffet at Comedy Bar.
Drag Buffet. Come out to our show, The Drag Buffet. Selena and I every month put on a show at the Comedy Bar. This month it's Drag Buffet. We're featuring
An array of talent, including Seance Nose, Sydney Quest, Coyote Ugly, Matcha Latte, and DaVerry Bess.
They are amazing, and we're giving a place to do comedy, and the two of us will be there too, and we're not that bad either. Every month at Comedy Bar. And then once we get into Pride season, i.e. the month of June, we're bringing back Sex and the Golden Girls, our show where we do an episode of the Golden Girls or Sex and the City, and then we improvise it as the other show.
And so tickets are live for that right now.
Yeah, everything's live. And I think probably throughout the seasons, like in July and onwards, we're probably going to be doing more Sex and the Golden Girls because you love it. Yeah.
You love it. So the people want it.
Tell your mom, tell your sister, tell your principal to come.
And, yeah, you high school kids.
Yeah, we're grooming you. Make sure to wash your face. All right. Are you okay, that's all I got to say.
That's all I got to. I'm good. Are you good? Right,
well,
you're good.
I'm good. I'm good. We're good. Are you good? Are you good, squirrels? Well, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Goodbye now. I'm